I wonder if I mentioned it because there's a issue that I want to discuss. What I did was I missed some of the psukim. So let's read
from the beginning of the Tzaddik. And then we'll look at the Ramban. An issue that's very disturbing, just in simply in the text, in the psukim. So I'm starting from after the Torah describes the menorah, the beginning of the Tzaveh. So then the Torah now in Pasuk, beginning of Perek Chav Ches, the Torah has the following statement. V'yato, it's actually on the bottom of this page, if you see. V'yato hakrei v'ilecho es aron achicho, v'yasbono v'itom v'itok b'nei Yisrael lecha hanoli. Aaron nadav avihu elazav yisamra b'nei Aaron. What is the Torah instructing? What is the directive over here? The directive is to bring Aaron, your brother. This, of course, is being told to Moshe Rabbeinu as the Torah begins in Tetzaveh. V'yato Tetzaveh b'nei Yisrael. So now Aaron Achicha is being told, he and his children, that they are being instructed to do what? To become the Kohanim. This is the, if you will, the investiture that's taking place regarding Aaron and his children. The language which is very significant is the language of Lecha Hanoli. How do you translate that? They're going to become, what is their function? They're going to become priests. They're going to become Kohanim. Li. Lecha Hanoli. Correct? The Torah continues. As you know, the distinction between Truma Tetzaveh, Kayadu Alachem, that Truma is primarily focused on what? On what issue? On the Klei HaMikdash, on the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, Mashen Kein Parshas Tetzaveh, is focused on Bigdei Kehuna. So now we're having the introduction to Bigdei Kehuna, which of course Aaron and his children are going to wear, the vestments of the priesthood. The Torah continues. V'yasisa Bigdei Kodesh Le'Aaron Achicha, L'chavod Ul'Sifaris. These two words at the end of the Pasuk are critical. The begotten that are going to be worn by Aaron, and of course his children, are being made for what purpose? L'chavod ul'sifaris. Literally translated, how would you translate that literally? They are essentially what?
For honor and glory.
For honor and glory. Correct, 100%. I continue. You need people, obviously, who have expertise in order to put together these garments. B'yasuas b'gdei Aaron. Again, the begotten by being made. L'katsho. Lecha noli. Again, the verb that we saw earlier in Pasuk Aleph is being used again. Here there's an additional verb, Likacho. The Gemara says in many places in Shas, Kolzman shebigdeyim aleihem kuhunasim aleihem. When the Kohen is wearing the garments, the bigde kahuna, then his kahuna, shall we say, is operative.
It's not a din in him.
One moment. Kolzman shein bigdeyim aleihem ein kuhunasim aleihem. You're asking an excellent kasha, which has to be, shall we say, fleshed out in great detail, which is not really my interest right now, but the kasha is a beautiful kasha. Very important kasha. I just want to point out the thing that I really am concerned with, which he was concerned with, Mr. Hertzschlita, and that is the issue of, there are two expressions the Torah uses here. One is the verbal form, lecha noli, used in Pasuk Gal, and then again in Pasuk Gimel, lekacho lecha noli, for the purpose of sanctifying Aaron HaKohen and his children. And then there's another very significant, and that's what we just pointed out, expression, which of course is l'chavod ul'sifaras. Now there seem to be, if you will, two functions of bigdei kahuna. One function is they're worn l'chavod ul'sifaras, correct? They are clearly vestments of glory, splendor, kavod. On the other hand, these garments also have another function. Somehow they have to do with what? With the very essence of sanctifying Aaron HaKohen and his children, l'katsho l'chahanoli. Almost as if there are two different functions. Why do I say that? Because if you look at the Targum, you don't see the entire Targum, I think, or maybe you do. The first time, actually you see it in the second Pasuk. The first one is slightly rubbed away. But the second Pasuk, the Targum translates, V'sabed levushe kutshel Aaron Achicha li'yokar u'letushbechon. But actually, you can see it in the next pasuk, the pasuk Dalit. The end of the pasuk says, "What are these levushim for? Lishamosha kadomai, lekatshusei, lishamosha kadomai." It's a pasuk Gimel. No more to sanctify them, and they're going to serve. So it seems like there are almost two different functions. I'm not addressing your question, Moshe, but your question is an excellent question, a very important question. It needs much halachic expatiation in order to develop the idea. So this is Ramban on top of the page. And there's a very famous Ramban. The Ramban explains the Chavod al-Sifaris. It's the Ramban in Psukim based with Dalit. I'll just read part of it, okay? But you'll get the general gist in a moment. What is the language of the Chavod al-Sifaris? She'yeh nichbar u'mefo'ar Bilmabushim nichbadim mefa'arim. I mean, the kohen has to essentially take on a certain aristocratic kind of look, correct? He's wearing beautiful malbushim, beautiful garments. The Navi Shayon and Samech Aleph describes a chassan. A chassan, of course, obviously is dressed in his best, and there is a kind of pe'er, kind of glory. You're familiar with pe'er from the Gemara and Sukkah. But anyway, and we're also familiar with from the Gemara and Subis. Thank you. From both places. What does Ramban suggest? These begotten that are worn by the Kohanim, what are they? They are garments that are aristocratic in nature, worn by Malachim, worn by kings. Kidmusam Yilbashu Amalachim Bizman HaTorah. That these are the garments that were worn by kings during the days of the Torah. That's the Iksanas Pasim, of course, of Yosef. Sheperusha Muru Kemes Kidmus Pasim. The Iksanas Tashmeitz Kemoshe Perashnu. Vilbisho Kidben Malchi Kedem. They are, in effect, their look is the look of what? Of kings. Of people who are obviously, who have royal blood coursing through their veins, so to speak. And the Ramban is going to indicate that this applies to all the begadim. All the begadim have an element of malchus attached to them. The daughters of kings, or if you want to call them princesses, correct? They were dressed apart, no question about it. Further, v'amitznefes. What is a mitznefes? The mitra, as they call it, I believe, which is a kind of hat. And he continues. V'chein kosev v'tznif melucha. V'kach yikrei makosev pari hamikbos. And he continues. Again, here you have blacked out the garments that, of course, are accentuated by the Ramban. Eifod v'choshen, zlevush malchus. Tzitz. The tzitz, of course, tzitz HaKodesh, had the Shem Hashem. Nezer HaMelochim. It's a diadem of kings. And it's Zohav, Yagomon, Utcheles, Kolkuda, Basmelech Pnima, Tcheles, and on and on and on. So the Ramban basically takes the tack that clearly these garments are what he calls levush malchus. But now if you have a chumash, which is kedai to have, yeah, you have a few more chumashim over there. Just I'll read another series of psukim that you don't have in front of you. But the Perek Chavches, the Torah, when it continues talking about the garments, because that's what the entire parsha is focused on, so Perek Chavches, Pasuk Mem. V'levnei Aaron ta'aseh chutanot v'yasis alehem abneitim u'migbos ta'aseh alehem l'chavod u'sifaris. Again, the Torah reiterates, repeats the same idea that the begadim are made l'chavod u'sifaris. A bit later, Pasuk Mem Aleph, v'ilbashto osam esaron achichav hezbonav ito, they should put on these garments, u'mashachto osam, they're going to be anointed, u'mileiso es yadom, and then the Torah ends this Pasuk by saying, so again, what do you see? The same two functions that we mentioned earlier, the Torah rearticulates or reaffirms in the Psukim a bit later, namely one function that the Beged is a kind of Beged Malchus, the Chavod Sifaris, and the second point is that these Begadim somehow are able to sanctify the Kohanim, the Kidashto Osam V'chihanuli. The Achaim HaKadosh, you don't have it here, in his parish, Al HaTorah, in this week's parsha, he brings a brice of Maseches Vochim and Daf Yud Chesem Bebeis. You don't have the brice in front of you, but I'll tell you what the brice says. The brice writes that if the begadim are kiruim or metushtoshim, let's say the garments of the kohen are torn, or they are, the word metushtoshim needs a good translation. What does the word tishtush mean in modern Hebrew? Litashtesh. But clearly in the context that we're talking about, because the Gemara actually discusses a number of requirements that are relevant to the garments, but the problem is if garments are torn or they are simply disheveled, not in their proper state, the halacha is, the Gemara says, that these garments are not acceptable. Why are they not acceptable? Because that's a violation of what? Pasuk? L'chavod u'sifaris. Then it would not be a proper cover, the proper tiferes for the kohen to be to wear such garments. The Braisa in Zvachim is mashma that even b'di'eved the garments would passel the avoda. I want to read Lashon of Rashi. I Zirax the Rashi and after Chesed based in Zvachim. I didn't give it to you over here. Rashi says afilu hein chadashim, even if they are relatively new, if they're torn, the lab beged havoy laavoda the beinon lechava rusifaris. So what's Rashi saying Zvachim? That would be a violation of a garment that is supposed to reflect, shall we say, a certain covered, a beged malchus. If it's torn, if it's metushtosh, then the garment is not fitting for the kohen to wear. There's a tesis in Yuma and Daf Yud Beis on the base, also in Zirak Sefiu, that tesis actually agrees with Rashi. He writes, "Lerabos hashchokin veitzrich kuad the lotema kiyeched in metushtoshin or mikurayim sulim perkshen dezvachim." What are shchokim? You wear garments that are not exactly the newest type of garments, but they are
worn.
They're worn out. Not torn, not tattered, just worn. People, they're worn out. People wear garments over a period of time, obviously, they become worn. So Tesha says, the same thing also would apply to them. Why? They're supposed to be a display of pomp and ceremony, of grandeur, of majesty, in the context of Beis HaMikdash of the Kohanim, that would undo all that sense of pomp and ceremony in the Beis HaMikdash. Yalei Chaim here goes on to explain that the Begadim actually are ma'akev for Aaron and his children. However, if you know the Gemara in Tainis, which you may have had access to, or the Gemara in Zvachim, perhaps you're not so familiar with that, but whatever the case is, the Gemara points out that who was the one who actually served as the Kohen Gadol during the Shiva Siman Miluim, when they were preparing, they were actually being mechanech, Aaron and his children to become the ultimate Kohen Gadol, and his children to do the work of the Avod and the Big Dekahuna and the Beis HaMikdash. Who was the one who actually, for the first 7 days, was the Kohen Gadol, so to speak? Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Gemara says in Tainis and Zvachim, what was Moshe Rabbeinu wearing during the time that he was serving or doing the Avod, as it were, prior to the actual investiture, where the official coronation of the Mishkan took place? And the answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu was wearing a chaluk lavan. What's a chaluk lavan? A kind of kittel of sorts. Moshe Rabbeinu was wearing a kind of kittel, and that kittel was a plain white kind of garment. So the Aruch Chaim says that, and this is what he writes, he quotes this Gemara, in Tainis and Zvachim regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, he was dressed with his chaluk lavan, and he says, Shelo tachshav shabagodim him letzorchi avodah bilvad, that don't think that the begadim are only for the purpose of doing the avoda. V'yischayv hadavar, he says, then you would be obligated. The lovsham, he says, Moshe ba'avoda asim ha'milum, because if Moshe is doing the avoda, he should wear those garments as well. V'lo kenu, it's not true. Because he says that the reason why Moshe did not have to wear these garments, because these garments are only l'chavod u'sifaris. I just want to stress this idea that's mentioned by Rishonim, by the Balei HaTosfos, and by Rashi, what the Torah says here twice that I showed you, l'chavod u'sifaris. However, the second function, as I told you, is a different function entirely. L'katsho l'chanoli. What does that mean? To sanctify the coin, and in effect to be machshir him to do the avoda. I'll read you a Rambam in Klei HaMikdash. The Rambam says, Perechess al chadalet, Bigde kahuna, mitzvasan shiu chadoshim, they should be new, noyim, very pleasing, beautiful, umishul shalim, kederach bigde agdolim, shenem al chavol siferes, hoyu mitushtoshim al mekuroim, if they're disheveled, if they're torn, if they're tattered, v'ovad, you do the avoda, avodas apsula. And as you see that the Rambam indicates that you have, in effect, one aspect is the Chavad of Sefaris. And then the Rambam goes further. I'll just read another set of halachas in Perek Yud Halacha Dalet. Mitzah se lasos begodim eilu v'yas ha-koin ovi v'hem shenema v'yasisa b'gdei kodesh. The Kohen has to work while he's wearing these garments. And the Rambam adds, b'zman she b'gdeyem aleyem kunasam aleyem. That's the Gemara. Ein b'gdeyem aleyem, ein kunasam aleyem. And I'll just read another Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, if you don't mind, in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel. There he summarizes it. Hu nishin stavu ha-koinim gilbosh. They have to wear these beautiful garments. That's what it says. Then you He's not saying anything that we discussed till now. As long as the begadim are on them, so they have their kahuna. There's a mitzvah say for the kohanim to wear these garments. Who amaram? That's what it says. Minayin shein Aaron lovish begadim elu l'gdulaso. Ela kamo mekayim zeyas hamelch. He's carrying out the dictum of the king, because that's what the Torah goes on to say. That he carried out exactly what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. They are garments that are beautiful. All kinds of beautiful stones. They were studded with beautiful stones, correct? And they were studded, in fact, with gold. The interest is not just the yofi, Tomid b'migdash. That's the Lashon Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. In other words, essentially, that's one statement. And then we have another statement, which is found in the Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Tzadik Tes. Again, you don't have it, but he says, Mishor She'a Mitzvah, Ki Adam Nifal L'Fi Pu'loso. This, as you know, is the Chinuch's favorite theme, namely, behavioral therapy. What's behavioral therapy? If you do something, and do it again, and do it a third time, and do it a fourth time, and a fifth time, and umpteen times, what will happen? Will become part of your very warp and woof. Become part of your very persona. That's how, by the way, a person, if you want to go ahead and hopefully develop good character traits, you essentially have to do something again and again and again. Rabbi Sol Salanta, Zasal said, it's easier to learn through Shas than to change one character trait of our personalities. That is La Mito Shel Torah, 1,000% correct. So the Chinuch writes, could say there, after actions that we do, that has an impact. We do something again and again. A person becomes a masmid. You do it again and again. After a while, it becomes a part of you. And in terms of developing character traits, the same thing. So he writes on this matter, since that's the case, referring to the kohen, what is the kohen and what are they doing? By their avoda, they are effecting kapara for Klal Yisrael. Kapara meaning expiation, atonement for our sins. Tzorachli, his spies is called Machshavto v'Kavanosu l'Avoda. Alkein roi lislabish begodim yuchadim elu. Because, you know, the Gemara says in Erchin that each one of the begodim had a different function as far as kapara is concerned. The mechaper for different avonos, for different transgressions, each of these begodim that the Torah mentions over here. But he goes on here, the chinuch to say, I'm not reading the entire thing, she'istaka b'chol mokim she'begufa miyad yeniskar u'misora b'libo v'nemi hu obe. When he wears these garments, all different types of garments, the breastplate, the choshen, and the ephod, and the apron, and what have you. Then all of a sudden, each time he looks at a different garment, he realizes that the avodah that he's doing. And b'chol zerayi l'masha amarti, milvat she'esh b'avon kavod abriyos v'l'avodah, b'yosa ove, milubash, milubush miyuchad, miyuchad avodah, and on and on and on. So basically what he says is he adds this element that there are really two aspects, and you cannot see it in all the Rishonim. One aspect of the chavul sefaris, and the other aspect is somehow that this is connected to the avoda and the Beis HaMikdash, that the begadim actually, as long as they're being worn by the kohanim, so then they are kohanim who are, shall we say, operative and operating as kohanim, and if the begadim are not on them, the Gemara says, Ein kunasam aleihem. So I now, based on this, I want to add now another element which I think is very significant, and that is an element which should be fairly obvious. The beginning of the parasha, the Torah says, the first pasuk, look at the first pasuk, the first two pasukim, V'yatot tetzavis b'nei Yisrael, v'yikwe lecha shemen zay yizoch kasus amor l'halos ne'otamin. Came out every parshan, asks an obvious question. Why did the Torah interrupt and introduce the parsha of tetzavah? With what? With the discussion of what aspect of the Mishkan? The menorah. The Torah, if it meant to focus on the big day kahuna, right after the Torah completed the discussion of the Klei HaMikdash in Parshas Truma, should immediately have gone to Parshas Tetzaveh to discuss Big Day Kahuna. Why did the Torah interpose or interrupt? But there seems to be a continuity going from Klei HaMikdash to Big Day Kahuna with this pasuk, with the Tzivui, L'Shemet Amor, and Hadlakas Neros. So I heard from my Rebbe, HaGoyin Anisim Alpaz Atzal, the following answer, which I think is a beautiful answer. Chazal tell us that the building of the Mishkan is comparable to the creation of Shamayim Varetz. I can't go into this at great length now. There are many rayas. Many, many rayas. Language primarily is the probably the most important raya to this idea. Do you recall how the Torah describes at the end of Parshas Pekudei? Look towards the end of Pekudei for a second, and maybe you'll appreciate this. Towards the end. The end of Sefer Shmos. The Torah uses a verb which actually occurs a number of times, but let's take a look in the end of Pekudei. Let's say Pasuk Lamed Perek Mem Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayakim es hachatzer sov la mishkan hamizbech vayitein es masach shar hachatzer vayichal Moshe es hamalacha. That verb of vayichal. What does that verb remind you of? Excellent. You recall that. We say it on Kiddush every Shabbos. But that's not the only analogy. There are many analogies. I can't go into it right now. But if you look at Medrash and you look at the number of other parallels, so my Rebbe suggested that the Bria consists of two primary components. One are what he called Shamayim components, which of course are spiritual components that include whatever is in the heavens, heavenly bodies and malachim and galgalim. And then there's a second component called Eretz, which of course refers to, if you will, material items that are on this earth, that are on terra firma. So in the Mishkan, my Rebbe made the following suggestion. There are two parshas. Of course what he was saying is a very fundamental brisky yisod. Dialectic. Tzvei dinim. The parsha of Truma essentially describes what, if you will, the chassis of the Mishkan. Chassis of the car, the body of the car, the Guf HaMishkan, that's the Parsha of Truma. The Kelim, which of course are all the material elements of the Mishkan. They represent the very body, the contours, correct, of the Makam HaMikdash, Makam HaMishkan. However, Parsha Tetzaveh that deals now with Begadim are considerably more in the realm of, if I may say, the ethereal, as opposed to the body. They're more related to the neshama aspect of the Mishkan. And therefore, what exactly is the tochen? What's the content of the Nishmas HaMishkan? The answer is Bigdei Kodesh. Because the Gemara says that in Erchin, that each of the begadim was mechaper for a different, shall we say, negative character trait. Namely, some of them were mechaper for gaiva, for arrogance, for haughtiness. Others were mechaper on Hiru Halev, a person has a Hiru Avera, others are Mechaper for Azus Metzach, all this the Gemara has in Masechas Erchin, what each of the begotten, what they function. So this merger of the Guf and the Neshama essentially, of course, represents the Adam HaSholem, because that's what we are. We are a Shiluv of the Guf and the Neshama. By the way, the Mechaper Shulchan Aruch, you're probably familiar with that, because it's the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. When he talks about the Bracha of Asher Yatzar, that's how we understand the Bracha of Asher Yatzar. Asher Yatzar is Adam B'chochma, Uvarav on the Kavim, the Kavim, Chalulim, Chalulim, Golav Yaduav, Nechisek, Avadar, Hashim, Yibaseach, Amem, Oysasim, Echem, Yishar, Luskein, Lamoluch, Anecha. Let's just leave out Afilu Shoachas, Machlokas, but we pass not to say it. Baruch Atar Hashem, Rofei Kolbasa, Umafi Lassos. What did Hashem do? The Mechaber and Ramor discussed it in Shulchan Aruch. Hashem created us with all kinds of what? Limbs. All types of organs. Nikavim, Nikavim, Chalulim, Chalulim. However, those Nikavim and those Chalulim cannot be activated without what? Without a Neshama. Without a soul. Without a life. Correct? So we have also in the human being a Shiluv, a combination of, if you will, the chassis, Lahavdil. The bodily component, the material component of the human being, but also at the same time it's combined with what? With a Neshama. And that essentially is what the Mishkan is all about. Essentially, what is a human being? What are we? A Mishkan in miniature. The Mishkan, of course, is a much larger model of this Shiluv of what? Of Guf and Neshama. And the Adam HaSholem is a smaller model of this combination, of this merger, harmonious merger between Guf and Neshama. Therefore, my Rebbe suggested, this is Ramuz, this is alluded to at the very beginning of Tetzaveh. We want to connect Truma and Tetzaveh. Truma deals with the chassis, the body of the Mishkan, the Klei HaKodesh. Tetzaveh deals with Begadim, which is more in the area of Neshama. So how do we introduce it? With the menorah, which of course is Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam Chayfes Kol Chad V'Potim. In general, menorah represents the Or HaTorah. As you know, the, I don't know if we discussed it last week, but there are three Ksarim, Kesa Torah, Kesa Ud, Kesa Malchus, and they're represented actually Torah, Avodim, Milos Chasodim, represented by the different Kalim of the Mishkan. So the, in fact, you have a pasuk that introduces the Neshama. How? By describing the menorah and the Shemen Amor. This is a Malbim I saw in his Perish al HaTorah. The Malbim explains that these two terms, L'chavod ul-sifores. What are these two terms? So the Malbim says that Kavod parallels the Neshama. He brings Pesukim from Tanakh, Kedaka Bakodesh. We have to know all Tanakh by heart, otherwise we don't have a chance. Especially Rav Ramban and Rachaim Bakodesh, not just Rav Moshe, but all of you. Correct? So the pasuk says by Yaakov Avinu at the end of Vayechi, "Bikaholam al teichad kavodi." Well, that's the term kavod. The term tiferes, says the Malbim, refers more, if you will, the idea not as kavod, which has in it the element of the neshama, but more the idea of guf. Again, he brings many, many interesting rayas. I'm not going to go into the whole thing. No, basically, there are two elements that comprise the Mishkan. One is a physical element, the physical structure, the overall chassis and body of the Mishkan. But on the other hand, you must have begodim, because without begodim, a beged is sort of a kisui for the neshama, and it's very interesting. There's a pasuk in Tanakh, which, and actually, based on pasukim in Tanakh, but I'll just read to you a very fascinating statement from Tefillah Zakah. Tefillah Zakah is the vidui said by Jews there, Yom Kippur, and there we say, "V'tzaveh l'malacha ha-kadoshim, we ask Hashem, tell the malachim, to remove our begodim that are full of excrement." What does excrement mean? Averos. Begodim that we did averos, and if our begodim become what? Soiled, sullied, polluted. And what does Hashem do? Give us begodim that have a name, levush hakedusha. Moshe Kosser, as the Navi says, asir abgodim hatsoim me'olav, v'yomer l'arei havati me'olach avonecha v'al b'shosom machlotzos. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, which maybe you're familiar with, on Kuf and Gimel. I believe we learned Shabbos last year. Am I mistaken? The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Kehelas. B'chol ha'isiyu b'gadecho levonim, your garment should always be white. B'shem al-arosh v'al techsa. It says Rashi over there in Shabbos, Kuf and Gimel. It's actually Rashi in Kehelas, quotes the Gemara in Shabbos. B'chol ha'isiyu b'gadecho levonim, haskei atzmecha b'chol shom, b'masim tovim. Always do good deeds. Constantly do good deeds. Shem Thomas Hayom. If one, God forbid, dies today, Tikonis B'Shalom, be able to go. Lassin Lavo, B'Shalom. U'mashol, Shalom HaMelech gives a mashol. La'adam Shezbin HaMelech Yom Suda, V'lo Kavol Azman. The king tells his subjects they're going to be invited to a meal, to a palatial residence, and to a palatial meal, to a regal meal. But he didn't tell him when. Im Chacham Uo Pikachu. A person who's a chacham pikach, what will he do? Miyad mechaves ksuso v'rochet v'soch. He's going to prepare himself right away. He doesn't know when the king's going to call him. He may call him any moment. So he should always be ready. Namely, b'chol eisiu b'gadecha levonim. And he's already bathed. He's already anointed himself. He already prepared himself whenever the king's going to call him. I saw in Rav Yaakov Milisa, the Nesivis, has a parash on Kehelas. He writes in that pasuk b'chol eis. You begodecha levonim la'olam yachomesh ulavush aneshama mezukach velovelei mitzvah sumasim. Make sure your neshama is clean, sparkling clean. I think I told you many times, maybe there was a very cute commercial in New York City that I grew up with. Whenever you have a drain problem, so what do people do when they have a drain problem? How do they get rid of the grime and grease?
Drano,
correct. So there was a service called Roto-Rooter. I'm once in Shir, and Rav Soloveitchik is describing a Rambam in Hilchos Gershon, Perek, Beis Halacha Chof, where the Rambam talks about that Bez has the ability to compel someone to give a get if he's, shall we say, in that situation where he may be recalcitrant, and if he's so then they can go ahead and even apply a little, shall we say, some heat in order to make sure that it's done. So the Rambam says, but what happened to Bechira Chavshis? Answers the Rambam, every Jew has a pint of the Yid inside him. Every Jew deep down wants to do the right thing. What happens? The Yetzirah gets in the way. So So we have to apply a little heat to the Yetzirah. In love of the Yetzirah, should, shall we say, be eliminated, and the real we will come to the fore. There was a program, you probably know, they had three people all looking similar. Will the real Mr. Magoo stand up? Such a program. What was it called? Many, many moons ago. Anyway, that's what the Rambam says. So Av Soloveitchik said, Moshe l'ma'a dova doime, to this jingle that they have, Rota Ruta, Avego Tubble down the drain, Rota Ruta. That's the jingle. I remember my whole life. Isn't that incredible? Gius of the Anklusel and Mishtacha, the Gemara and Shabbos. That what you learn when you're a young man, you remember even 50 years later. Rota Ruta, Avego Tubble down the drain, Rota Ruta. That's Pshat Rambam, he said. They apply a little Rota Ruta, and then all of a sudden you see a grime and grease, and then a few moments later they come in with all their hoses and who knows what. Wow, it's sparkling, and you see all the unbelievable, the luminous qualities of the beautiful, what you said, the work of Drano, or whatever other item that you use. So that's what the Abyakar Milisa says. Make sure that your neshama is pure, unsullied, white, untainted, through mitzvahs and masim tovim. So in effect, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do here in the Pasha? Moshe Rabbeinu, who oversees the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu, in effect, is told, number one, to build the Guf HaMishkan, that's in Pasha Truma, in Pasha Tetzaveh, the Big De Kahuna. But as I said, the Big De Kahuna have two functions. One function is the Chavad HaSifaris. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu fulfills the first function of the Begadim. However, they also bring about Kedusha V'Tahara. But also be the Kodesh L'Katsho U'L'Chanoli. And this, of course, reminds me very much of the original creation. That's what the Mishkan is all about. It parallels the original creation of Adam HaRishon. It parallels the Bria. And we are a microcosm of the Bria, of the Mishkan, and the two elements. Element number one, of course, is the Guf HaMishkan. Element number two, Vayipach Be'apa of Nishmas Chaim. I'll just end, since you learned Masechet Sukkah, so I want to end with the famous Rabbeinu B'chayi. Rabbeinu B'chayi in his parish, which is called Kara Kemach. I'm very fond of that sefer. You have a sefer called Kara Kemach. Fat, green sefer, published by Masada Rav Kook. In that sefer, it has three svarim. One, a parish on Pirkei Avos, gorgeous beyond belief. Two, a parish on Hilchos Achila, gorgeous beyond belief. Three, also gorgeous beyond belief. He has an index of about 50, 60 topics that he goes through. And one of the topics, which is called sukkah, he said, Tzvei dinim in sukkah. Everything is tzvei dinim. There's two elements to a sukkah. There's the tzad hachitzoni, namely the building of the sukkah itself, and the physical plant. Shtayim kilchosim v'shlish nafil tefach. Correct? Two walls and then the third a tefach, and that's sufficient. But that's not the ikra of the sukkah. Ultimately, what's the ikra of the sukkah? Kishem shachal shem shamayim ala chagigo, kachal shem shamayim ala sukkah. Sukkah is a tzil de menusa. We're basking in the glow of Hashem Yisbarach. We are literally in a, what seems to be a physical hut, but it has in it the Shechina. It has a, what he calls Tzad Nigle and Tzad Nisdar. So too, the Mishka and the Migdei Kehuna also have Tzvei Dinim to them. There's a Tzad Nigle, the physical plant, the Klei HaMikdash, but there's also the Tzad Nisdar, and these are two, I believe, are embedded in these two functions of the Mishka. On the one hand, covered with Tiferes, that's the outer levush, if you will. But more significantly is the neshama, the inner persona, the inner character, the very inner majesty. That's lekatsho lechanoli. Lefi anius daiti, all of us, again, that's what we are enjoined to do. We are enjoined, on the one hand, obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam created us with a physical plant, if you will, namely a guf with evarim, which are a pikadon, but more significantly, we have to be mekadosh those evarim, we have to sanctify them, we have to somehow make them holy, we have to the extent that we can, bring the neshama that's within us, that should really be the item that comes to light, and the mitzvah Hashem, we should be zoche, by combining both, the guf and the neshama. In effect, what have we done? We've combined the two parshas, the Truma and the Tzaveh, and they, of course, are connected with the menorah Torah, that's the neshama Torah, and that's what we say every morning. Elokai, Neshama she'nosatevi tohirahi. Ribbono Shel Olam created us with a neshama that's tohar. Chas v'shalom, we shouldn't sully it, we shouldn't pollute it. It should remain clean, white. That's why we're constantly doing mitzvahs in order to maintain the neshama, and we have the opportunity as well as every Yom Kippur, once again, and on a daily basis. Hashem, the neshama leaves, and the neshama once again is restored on a daily basis. It's a golden opportunity. This combination of guf and neshama, this is what we're all about. This is what the Mishkan is all about. This is what Klal Yisrael is all about. Came out every mitzvah has these two elements. But the Rabbi Chai calls in the sukkah, the Tzara Nigla, the Tzara Nistar, how the Rabbi should be zochet to put them together in the most harmonious way, and thereby, as a result of that, come closer and closer to Hashem Yisbarach. Shukach to all of you. I must depart. I'm really late. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm in trouble.
You can not. You gotta get to that chasma. What? I'm trying not to do that.